This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, April 7th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, our weekly legal issues in the news feature. Commentator Amy Guida talks about the concept of harm to reputation and puts it in relation to the movies. Also get a forecast from AM 580 forecaster Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. University of Illinois President Joe White admits he's taking flack for it, but White defends the high enrollment rate of international students at the system's flagship campus. Amanda Vinicky has more.
More students from foreign countries attend the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign than any other public university. But President White told legislators at a hearing on the institution's budget that UIUC also enrolls far more in-state students than any other top research institution in the country. White says over the last decade, U of I has increased enrollment of students from Illinois by 12%, while enrollment of non-residents is up just 1%. And he says most of those non-residents come from overseas.
We basically think it's more valuable for our students to interact with an outstanding student from Korea, Taiwan, or Brazil than from Ohio.
Still, lawmakers like Republican Senator Chris Lawson of Aurora have concerns Illinois' high school graduates are being displaced.
It is a wonderful experience to have the global perspective that living with kids from other countries provides, but I don't get that wonderful experience if I can't get in the front door.
Legislators also have concerns that international students are too segregated on campus. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn is urging Illinois residents to push for putting a constitutional amendment on the November ballot that would allow for the recall of elected officials. And in pushing for that proposal that he's long supported, Quinn said yesterday in Chicago that Governor Ralph Blagojevich would almost certainly be the target of a recall attempt if the amendment passes. But Quinn stopped short of saying whether Blagojevich should be recalled. Quinn made the comment at a news conference to urge support of the recall bill coming up for a final vote in the Illinois House early this week. Recall votes are allowed in 18 other states, but not in Illinois. Townships across the state hold their annual town meetings tomorrow night. Few people attend the meetings, but for the past 2 years, some voters in Champaign and Urbana have packed their local town meetings to get advisory referenda on the ballot. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on plans for this year's meeting.
In the past 2 years, the annual town meetings in Champaign and Urbana have brought forth ballot questions opposing U.S. military action in Iran and calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. All but one of the referenda have been approved by voters, but they're strictly advisory and don't result in any action. Still, referendum organizers say voters can have an impact when they take stands on important issues. Champaign County Libertarian Party Chair Diana Visick says that's especially true when the issues are local.
Whatever the results of the referendum are can be used to really influence local government. Where the results of a referendum saying that the residents of the city of Urbana are opposed to the Iraq war doesn't really accomplish a whole lot.
V6 supports a referendum for the November ballot asking Champaign and Urbana to post details of contracts and expenditures on their city websites. Other questions that could be brought up as referenda Tuesday night support instant runoff voting and a study on city ownership of the water company. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Eastern Illinois law enforcement officials say an 18-month-old law that limits the sale of some cold medicine is working to clamp down on methamphetamine production. The measure went into effect in 2006 and limits how much cold medicine with pseudoephedrine people can purchase. It also requires stores to put the drug behind a counter. Pseudoephedrine is a key ingredient in methamphetamine, which is an illegal stimulant. Authorities with the East Central Illinois Task Force say the new limits have made it harder for people to make meth. Last year, the task force handled 14 meth labs in the region. That's down from 92 back in 2004. Illinois lawmakers have rejected a plan that would have required internet dating sites to spell out if members were checked against a national sex offender registry. Supporters called it a way to catch online predators who use those websites to meet unsuspecting people. Representative Jim Sasha, a Pecatonica Republican, says the background check is not foolproof, and he's worried that some sexual predators would fall through the cracks.
This is scary, scary, scary legislation. You are giving a young lady a false sense of security.
Representatives from several online dating sites say some users may use fake names, but they say predators are more likely to use social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook than to pay to join a dating website. The Illinois film industry has made a blockbuster rebound to an all-time high last year. Stephanie Lecce reports.
Money-wise, Illinois' film industry has had a dramatic story. Illinois Film Office head Betsy Steinberg says in the 80s and 90s, the state was a film hotspot. But by 2003, movies, TV shows, and commercials made in Illinois brought in a record low of $23 million. Fast forward to last year, when the state's industry made nearly $155 million. Steinberg says a tax credit for projects filmed in Illinois turned things around.
By the early years of this millennium, we had all but lost any kind of traction we had made in the previous 20 years of getting film industry business and keeping our film industry workers employed, and that's why the film tax credit was so instrumental in bringing the work back.
Steinberg says the latest record high figure includes wages paid to Illinois film workers, as well as money spent on hotels and restaurants. Last year, Hollywood producers shot parts of The Dark Knight and Fred Claus in Illinois. I'm Stephanie Lecce.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Harm to reputation is something that the law protects against. Commentator Amy Guida takes us to the movies to explain that in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Comedian Mike Myers' forthcoming film is called The Love Guru. CNN.com reports that he plays an overly ambitious American-born spiritual leader whose religion is based on an amalgamation of Eastern-style spiritual movements. The headline asks, is Mike Myers' new film asking for trouble? The question isn't meant to be a legal one. Instead, there's a suggestion that Myers and others should worry about backlash should the film offend certain religions. But the question could be answered in a legal sense as well. Is Mike Myers' new film asking for trouble if he mocks one religion in particular? Well, legally, no. Here's what I mean. Defamation is a legal wrong that arises when someone harms the reputation of someone else by incorrectly tying that wronged person to some criminal act or to a crucial business mistake or to anything, really, that would harm the wronged person's reputation within the community. But a defamation claim is virtually impossible to win if the person wronged isn't a person at all, but a group of people, like a club or an ethnic group or a religion. The taint of the wrong is too diffuse to affect the reputation of one within so many. The reputation-damaging language isn't of and concerning any one person within a larger group. And another trip to the movies explains all that. At the end of the film American Gangster, there appeared the statement that three-quarters of the agents who worked for the Drug Enforcement Agency in New York in the late 60s and early 70s were eventually convicted of criminal wrongdoing. The statement apparently was an urban legend and completely incorrect. So 400 former DEA agents who'd worked in New York during the relevant time period brought a defamation class action lawsuit against the film's production company. But even disparagement that affects the reputations of three out of four of the plaintiffs isn't enough to sustain a defamation lawsuit, or so the judge decided last Valentine's Day. The group of 400 former DEA agents was just too big for any one of them to claim personal harm to reputation, the court found, so it dismissed the complaint. That's not the first time that the movies have spawned a group defamation lawsuit. The same thing happened with the movie Flashdance. The argument was that the Polish jokes in the film made all Poles look bad, but the court found only indirect disparagement, no precise link to a particular plaintiff, and therefore no liability on the part of the filmmakers. And the same goes for TV. An appeals court in Chicago rejected the claim of the American-Italian Defense Association that the HBO series The Sopranos disparaged all Italian-Americans. In that case, the lawsuit alleged that the show was even unconstitutional, violating a provision in the Illinois Constitution protecting the individual dignity of all persons against ethnic stereotyping. But the court held that the Constitution's condemnation of stereotyping didn't create a private legal claim for those aggrieved. Constitutions and big and small screens aside, if a maligned group is small enough, then it's possible that a tort claim for group defamation will stand. Nine models at a department store had a valid claim against an author who suggested that some of the models were prostitutes, for example. But not so the 300 saleswomen who sued the author when the author made the identical claim about some of them. So is Mike Myers' new film asking for trouble? If we're talking about group defamation, the answer is no. But the trailer doesn't make it look so hot either. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Should be a nice day throughout the two-state area, mostly sunny, with the high temperatures today ranging from 50 degrees in far northwest Illinois to 72 in the south, 65 in Champaign-Urbana. Mike Sola says tonight in far western Illinois it'll cloud up with showers and thunderstorms. Clear skies remain in Indiana, but elsewhere in Illinois, increasing clouds with a chance for a few showers, and lows from 35 in northwest Illinois to 50 in the far south, 40 in Champaign-Urbana. And for Tuesday, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in northern and central Illinois and in northwest Indiana. Highs from 48 in northwest Illinois to near 75 in far southern Indiana. The Champaign-Urbana high temperature 62 degrees. Then looking ahead to Wednesday, partly sunny with a few passing thunderstorms possible and a high of 57. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, April 7th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.